I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2 and verse 11. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 2 and verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the subject before us this morning, just for a few moments, is falling down and worshipping Christ. Falling down and worshipping Christ. We're considering the testimony this morning of the wise men, the so-called wise men. We are told in verse 2, behold, chapter 2, verse 1, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, there are two types of wisdom. One type of wisdom can be attained through study of a subject with the human intellect. We gain knowledge, and we hope that knowledge is applied into a wisdom. And there are many wise people in this earth. The second, though, type of wisdom is uniquely given by God. It provides spiritual wisdom. It provides spiritual discernment to seek and to find the truth about God. It is a discernment whereby we can read the Word of God with understanding and apply it in a real way in our lives. This wisdom is a gift from God. It provides a wisdom revealed to us by the Spirit of God, whereby we are able to discern spiritual truths. This is the uniqueness of being a Christian. A Christian is someone who is born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and they have this wisdom given to them by God. Now, this God-given wisdom can be given both to the educated and the uneducated. I've known men who have lived very, very simple lives, and yet they have a tremendous grasp of Scripture. They have a tremendous discernment of spiritual truths. God is impartial in this way. And here is a remarkable testimony of wise men who themselves were intellectually brilliant academically, and yet they were spiritually wise. And yet we remember in this Christmas period, the shepherds. They were very poor men. They were the lowest in society. And yet they had been given wisdom by God to come and to worship the Lord Jesus. Well, I want us to consider then something about these wise men. And the first aspect we can see about these wise men is they must have studied the Scriptures. They must have studied the Scriptures, because approximately 600 years before the birth of Christ, the Jews were taken captive, and they were moved to Babylon. And they carried the Old Testament Scriptures with them into captivity. And there was a young man there that was taken captive by the name of Daniel. And Daniel is the most well-known of all the captives. And he was mightily used of God in Babylon. He was taught in the University of Babylon. Later, he ensured that the Mede and Persian libraries included Scripture within their vast array of reading material. So these wise men, who were very intelligent, they taught and researched at the best university in the world at that time. They no doubt read and studied maths and history and philosophy and astronomy and languages, but their research and study courses also included the study of the Scriptures at their university library. And in these Scriptures, they found in the book of Numbers that when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be born, there will be a special and unique star in the east to alert them. In the book of Numbers, we read In Numbers 27:17, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." And so, when this unique star appeared in the universe, being seeking believers, being wise men, they were alerted to something special. Something special had happened in the east, and they had a desire to worship because they understood that this was connected to the Messiah that had been promised. So these wise men, these academic men, they studied the scriptures as the word of God, and they believed it by faith, and they followed it by faith. Their faith in God's word launched them on a journey to worship the Messiah. And this should speak to us this morning. They were serious in their search for the Messiah. They went on a long journey in their search for the Messiah. How much do we seriously want to know the Lord Jesus in our lives this morning? Secondly, as astronomers, they respected God's voice in creation. When they observed the star, as astronomers, because these men were gifted in this aspect also, they knew that this was a unique star. And their research prepared them to treat God's star event in the sky with serious respect. This was not a UFO. This was a star. This was as promised by the God of all creation. And the wise men, they linked the scripture with the star and knew this was more than chance. They were not too busy to let this sign go by them without response. And this reminds us this morning how important it is to allow God's creation to speak to us. God's events in creation. The beauty of creation. The wonder of creation. I was speaking yesterday evening to the friends at the prayer meeting about going to Westonbirt in Wiltshire and in the autumn time. And the leaves are golden. They're red. They've got glorious colours. And as you walk through this arboretum, you are humbled by the wonder of God's creation. The wonder, the beauty of what you are beholding. Oh, what about the Northern Lights? We see this incredible display, God's firework display in the skies. It's amazing. And there's films that have been taken of, you can watch it on the internet and the YouTube, these incredible displays of what they call the Northern Lights. And these are incredible pictures that God gives to us in his creation to remind us of his power. And as the star alerted the wise men to the birth of the King of the Jews, the Messiah, and they responded accordingly, so the God-given signs in the skies that we see should alert us to the fact that Jesus is coming again. You see, this is how creation should speak to us this morning. We see the wonders of God's display in the sky, the rainbow. We see that is the promise of God's faithfulness to this creation. But these creative displays in the sky, they are a reminder of God's handiwork, God's power, and they should remind us that as much as he put a star in the sky, especially according to his creative sovereign power to announce, to alert these wise men to the birth of the Messiah, so there are signs coming at the end of time when there'll be more and more tumults and more events which remind us the time is coming, the time is coming, the time is short when Jesus will come again in glory and in majesty. So respect the scriptures, respect the voice of creation, God's voice in creation. And the wise men believed in the promises of God's word. By the star and the scriptures, they knew the Messiah, the King of the Jews, was born. This was a sign. They must therefore come and worship him. However far it was away, they were willing to set out on a long journey. I expect some of their colleagues said to them, "What are you doing?" Their unbelieving colleagues may have said to them, "Why are you wasting your time on this journey?" But they were willing to take a long journey, trusting in God's word. And so God calls us this morning to trust in his word along the journey of life. Simply trust him. Simply trust his promises, just like the wise man did. And the fourth thing we can see is the wise man persevered in their journey. They followed the star. It was a long journey. It was a difficult journey. It was hot in the day. It was very cold at night. It required courage. It required commitment to come all that way. And they went first, straight away, to the palace at Jerusalem. It seemed the obvious place, did it not? Surely they thought a king should be in a palace, in the capital city, Jerusalem. But Jesus Christ was not found in a palace. He was not even found in the Jewish temple at the time. He is found eventually at Bethlehem, in a lowly rented house, where God intended him to be at that time. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary. Now, we do not find Jesus by going to a palace or ornate temples or ornate cathedrals that focus on the aesthetics, the architecture, the pictures, the symbols, the incense. No, we don't find Jesus there. We find Jesus when we come to him by faith, wherever we might be. As we come in humility and in repentance, you can find Jesus this morning. You can find Jesus for yourself under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You can find Jesus, and he is willing to come to the needy. He's come to save the lost. He's come to save sinners to repentance. He has come to rescue us. And he's not come to put on a big show or an ornate celebration and robes and what have you. This can be a great distraction for people when they see an archbishop or something coming along in robes of the mitre and all this gold and all this apparel. And people think, that's so far removed from where I am. I've got a burden. My burden is my sin. And I see these people and they're all these dressed up in all these ornate clothes. And it's so far removed from where I am. Jesus never dressed like that. Jesus dressed with humility. He had one robe. It was an incredible robe. It didn't have any seams to it, but it was a robe that he wore. It was not ostentatious. No one saw a great big mitre on his head or anything like that. He mixed with men and women of all types of society, and he was born in a manger. He was born in a manger. He was laying in a manger in the most humble place you could imagine. This is our Jesus. And yet he's all glorious. And he's all holy. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And yet he humbled himself. These wise men found him in the house, we are told. They saw the young child with Mary in the house. Well, the wise men came to worship Jesus Christ as king. They were rich, they were intelligent, they were wise, they were powerful men. Yet the first priority was to humble themselves before the baby Jesus as Lord over their lives. They believed by faith that Jesus was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And despite the fact they were rich, they were so academic, and they were so intelligent, and probably in their homeland, they were looked up to as professors. When it came to their souls, when it came to their eternal future, when it came to their salvation, when it came to being right with God, all that had to be put to one side. It meant nothing before God, absolutely nothing. The only thing that meant anything before God was to humble themselves, was to fall down and to worship Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, in the incarnation account, people from both ends of society worshipped Jesus. The poor shepherds, they saw it. The rich wise men, they saw it. But particularly this morning, it is this inhibited response of the wise men when they saw Jesus. Any pride vanished, culture was swept away, humility is in control here. All that mattered was worship. All that mattered was to go down on their knees and worship the Lord Jesus, the baby Jesus, the child Jesus, as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Have you ever really fallen down before the Lord in your life this morning? By this I mean, have you bowed before him with your whole being, worshipping the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and Lord? Not just with your head, but with your heart, with your whole being, friends. Pride resists us in doing this. Our independent spirit resists us in doing this. Sin and guilt and shame can resist this. The world resists this. But all these hindrances are damaging your soul. There is a way. There is a way to come to Jesus. And it's just like the wise man, just like the shepherds. It's to come just as you are, without pretense, and fall down at the feet of Jesus and worship him. Whatever part of society you are today, it's the same way. It's the same person. Jesus remains the Lord and Savior. The gospel of Jesus Christ is announced as the Savior of the world to all people, all kinds of people. The wise men came to worship Jesus Christ as King and Lord. They saw it, the shepherds saw it, Mary saw it, Joseph saw it, Simeon saw it, Anna saw it, Zacharias saw it, Elizabeth saw it, the angel Gabriel knew it. And what about you? What about me? And the wonderful thing this morning, it is a gift. We don't have to pay. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to take an exam. We just have to be honest with ourselves. We must come just as we are. We must be honest about the need and the reality. Eternity is at stake. And the well-being of our lives is at stake here with the baby Jesus. This baby Jesus lived a perfect life. He grew up into manhood. And he went to Calvary. Up there he allowed himself to be hung upon a cross and to suffer and bleed and die, not for himself, not just to be considered a good man, hard dealt with. That was true, but that was minuscule to the real work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save sinners. He came to bear the punishment of all those who will put their trust in him, on our behalf, in our place and in our stead, that we might go free as we come and put our trust and trust only in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And finally this morning, the wise men, they gave suitable gifts to the Lord Jesus with thought and meaning. The gold, it signified the fact that Jesus was king. Now these men were evidently rich men. They could afford to give of their substance to the Lord Jesus. The shepherds couldn't, but they were not rejected because they couldn't bring a gift. They just were accepted because they came just as they were. And the wise men were accepted not because of their gifts, but because of their worship. As they worshipped, as they fell down, as they worshipped the Lord Jesus, they were received by faith in him. But they wanted to do something to express their wonder, their praise, their worship, and they had the means to do it. And so they gave these three gifts, gold. And this signified the fact that Jesus was king. Gold stood for authority in those days. Frankincense was used for incense in those days, worshipping God. Myrrh was used for anointing people who had died. This is why Jesus came. They worshipped him as the Savior of the world. Well, coming to Jesus, there are various aspects to this journey. The shepherds, they quickly found Jesus, didn't they? The angel Gabriel came. They were quite close by. They responded immediately, and off they went to worship the Lord Jesus. The wise men had a longer journey to find Jesus. But whether they came from a long way, whether it took them a long while to find Jesus or a short time to find Jesus, the result was still the same. They fell down and they worshiped Jesus. And I trust this morning that in our own lives, we ourselves will fall down before the Lord Jesus and worship him as both Savior and the Lord of our lives. May we learn from these wise men. They were truly wise in two ways, not only academically, but they were spiritually wise. And may the Lord help us to learn from them.